Pictured here is two wonderful young girls, my daughter Allie, who is 13, and my niece Avery, who is just over two years old. They have, give you some context to this before we go on. So Allie, some of you already know, but on my side of the family, my parents have 12 grandchildren prior to the youngest one in there, prior to Avery. Allie was the only girl out of 11 boys. Yeah, 11 grandchildren. Allie was the only granddaughter, okay? And so when Avery came along a little over 2 years ago, man, it was a blessing, man. We didn't even know if my sister would have any other kids. She had some complications with the one prior. So what a blessing, right? Just amazing. So they have this special bond that only two girls amongst 10 other boys can know. Despite the age difference of 11 years, they bonded ever since. I mean, Allie has a very nurturing side to her. And so I think part of that, but they really do just have this special bond. It's quite comical. These pictures were just from Labor Day, some of them, just at the lake there. So we got a text. So just to give you some context of that. So we got a text Thursday, just last Thursday, and she's okay. But man, she fractured her arm. Avery, a little two-year-old, fractured her arm. And so she was in some pain and was just really having a hard time. As you can imagine, a two-year-old probably wanting to play, whatever. She loves to play kitchen. She loves to just dance and kind of run around. She has a younger brother as well and a lot of boy cousins, so she likes to wrestle and all kinds of stuff. The look that you see there was one that she was feeling for the entire there. You know, I'm sure the hospital's cold, and I mean, I don't know about you, that just breaks my heart just to see her like that, you know. But nonetheless, she was down in the dumps. Could have been one of the hardest days of her life, I don't know, you know. It was certainly a struggle for her, right? So my sister was trying all kinds of things to cheer her up, and nothing was working, right? Like, go get you some ice cream, I'm so proud of you, like all these things. And so finally she says, because of their bond, she says, hey, can you say Allie? And when she said Allie, prior to the splint being put on, was the first, and she captured that picture, and she sent that on a family group text to us. That was the only time she smiled throughout that whole process. So today we're going to talk about what is our focus. Stemming off this picture here, something that seems so seemingly minor and again, breaks my heart to see. What is our focus? What was her very focus there when she smiled? When she had that moment of joy or happiness? And then to go right back to this. And furthermore, why is our focus important? Like, why are our thoughts important? That's a good question. Too many years ago, I hadn't actually stopped to think about that. So it might be a good time to think, why are our thoughts important? Well, just a couple scientific things that may help us to understand that. You know, our brains are constantly at work. You know, our brains are functioning even while we're sleeping. And there's some, you know, discrepancies as to what or how much, but the majority know that we have many thoughts run through our minds a day. In fact, most scientists would evaluate that we have about 10,000 thoughts a day. 10,000. It's quite a bit, huh? I mean, I don't know about you. There's times where I feel like I maybe had like 3 or 4 thoughts. Okay, just being honest. And there's times where I swear I more than 10,000. 10,000 is nothing. It's just overwhelming. It's a lot. So it's important for us to understand our thoughts and how they affect us and how they can really show up in our lives. God tells us how they're important in all kinds of scripture, just to name a few: Proverbs, 1 Peter, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Romans. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, several and several. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Other versions say, so as one person thinks, so they become. Okay. So So with our busy lives and our jobs, kids, finances, politics, the what ifs, what companies choose to support and not support, we can tend to get anxious, we can worry or stress about certain things. Now, I don't want to get too hung up on the words because I know anxiousness, worry, worrisome, stress, stressful, those all have a little bit different meaning, but at the end of the day, I think it can describe oftentimes what we feel as anxiety or feel as anxious. I would also offer at this point, if you were to ask me like prior to this sermon, because this sermon, preparing this very sermon, has been a very struggle for me, probably more than other things, I would have answered you and said, you know, I don't think I'm a very anxious person. It's really not. Pretty strong guy. Pretty focused, so I think. After studying and being in God's Word specifically on this, I'm telling you, by the second week for sure, I was ready to scrap this. I was ready to scrap this entire sermon. Part of the reason is because I realized how anxious I was getting over the details. Details that didn't matter. Things that totally didn't matter. I'm up here to present God's Word to you, and I have the privilege of doing so. And I was getting caught up in details like, what will I wear? And I don't really care what I wear most of the time. I wear kind of the same clothes every day. I'll wear them 3-4 times. Don't tell anyone that. But I'll wear them like 3-4 days in a row, man. You can ask my wife. I do the smell test, and if it kind of passes, I'll roll with it. I was focused on what will my jokes be? And if you don't laugh, what then? And, you know, I was like, where is my mind going with this? Where was my focus? I can tell you my focus was on almost everything other than God's Word. So I try to refocus. And so I want to bring to you the scripture that we're covering today, and this might make a little bit more sense. So go ahead and turn with me to in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians, open your phones, your apps, whatever it is. And we're going to talk about, where is your focus? Where is my focus? And how we can go from anxiety, stress, worry, to peace. And what kind of peace? Of course, His peace. As we like to do, if you guys would please read the yellow, and I will read the white, remembering this is God's Word, and this is our scripture for today. So go ahead and start in the yellow. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So as you can see in my preparation for this sermon, like really, I'm going to be anxious now? Like, really, Lord? Like, I'm going to struggle with this very thing. A thing that has impacted my life. This is one of the first verses I ever memorized. And I thought I knew it. And I think at times, it's certainly God used it to work in my life. Absolutely. But I think what He was showing me, and if there's something He wants me to show you, is how much more that let me say it this way. I didn't arrive. I didn't hit a certain point where I no longer struggle with this. See, because when I look through back, and how it caused me to reflect, when I look back, I was a very insecure person. I was very shy, very, very insecure. Got bullied a little bit in school. Certain events in my life happened. And so I realized in middle school and high school, I put on this front, like, don't mess with me. And I wore it really good. But really, I was just anxious and nervous inside. And so I had this, I almost believed my false persona that I was not anxious, even as a Christian at times. So let's take a look at the scripture. Because the good news, other than Christ died for us and God raised him from the dead, the ultimate good news, the other good news is that, man, God gave us a battle plan. A very battle plan in his word. So when we break down the scripture and we look at that, be anxious for nothing. Wait a minute. Be anxious for nothing? Lord, don't you mean like just like on the small things? Because the big things, how can you not be fearful at times or stressed out, right? So if we're talking about busy lives, right? How do we go from, those of you who have children, how do you go from getting out the house from breakfast time to school? From school, you're working, taking care of, stay-at-home mom. I know, that's a real job. That's a real job. Being a stay-at-home mom, busy with many, many things. And then, so let's say you're working or at home, and then you go pick up your kids. Pick up your kids to find out they got about an hour, hour and a half of homework. Then you're going right to a sport. And listen, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm just saying, like, it can be like that. So now you're going from homework, a snack, quick snack when you get home, to some kind of a sport, like an awesome sport. Spend 2.5 to 2 hours plus travel. Then you come back, finish homework. Repeat cycle. What if it's in our jobs? The demand of the jobs, of that job, the stress of that job. Okay? What about the lack of a job? You can't be anxious about that. What about finances? I know, God, we can be anxious about finances. Last I looked, it was like 94% of Americans live check to check and are two checks away from bankruptcy, in essence. 94%? We can be anxious about that. Like, I'm positive, right? That's like an epidemic. Oh, no, no, no. What about politics? Yeah, say no more, right? I'm going to leave that one right there. We see how these things, if they're our focus, they can really consume our lives. Whatever it may be, what if it's loss of a loved one? What do you mean be anxious for nothing? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see, if we come to him, to our loving and great Father, with thanksgiving, it takes us from a place of uncertainty, a place of if only. Like, Lord, if only I had that job. If only I had that promotion, things would be so great. Wait, no, better yet. If only I ran the company, because I know better than him. Right? If only we had a if only that company didn't say, if only I didn't have kid. No, I'm just playing. I love you guys. My children are in here along with the middle school connect group, so thank you guys for being in here. Love you guys. But if only, it takes us, when we come to Thanksgiving, when we come to him with Thanksgiving, we thank him for what he's already done in the very life, in our lives. And if I'm able to look past myself, which is hard to do, just telling, like, I love God, it is hard for me at times to look past myself. But when I do that and I see him working in the very lives of you, certain things that you have shared with me, certain things that I have witnessed him change, not only just in my marriage, in my wife's and our children's lives, but we get to see what he's doing to your children. And it's amazing. It's praise God. So when I'm thanking him already from what he's doing, I go from if only or this sense of uncertainty to thanking him for already being there, for already conquering. My focus automatically shifts with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. Now, the question could be, well, if God is God, why do I have to talk to him? Why doesn't he already know? And you know, I don't really have, like, the best answer for that. I've heard a few things, but one thing I can attest to is that when one of my children come to me and talk to me, Like, I may already know what they need. Like, I know. But there's a certain sense where they come to me, and there's maybe humility in that for sure. They come to me and they're like, hey, Dad. Like, I need you. So I can understand from a fatherly perspective, but all set aside, if nothing else, because we're commanded to, because if we do this, if we let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, does not make sense to this world, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're gonna look at 8 there. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, goes on to talk about whatever things are just and pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate, spend time, think about these things. So I think it would be helpful if we not only think about those things, but to understand maybe what the opposite of that is. And then move right back. Not to focus on it, but just to think for a second. What is the opposite of these things? What's the opposite of true? False. Lies. Deceit. Okay. All right. So whatever things are true, we're going to meditate. Okay, so we're not going to focus on lies and deceit. Okay. All right. So I'm trying to get noble. So in contrast to noble, anything that is unworthy or dishonorable. What about just? In contrast to wrong or unjust. Pure. Contrast to is impure, unholy or dirty, perhaps filthy. Lovely. In contrast to unlovely, or straight up just ugly. Good report. In contrast to scandalous or disrespectful, or excuse me, disreputable. Virtue, in contrast to disrespect, dishonor, or evil. And praiseworthy, in contrast, would be shameful or punishable. So it brings us to the question, okay, if that's what we're called to meditate and to focus on, what is always true? What is always noble? What is always pure? Good report. What is virtue? What is praiseworthy? I mean, I know some things that might fit into like one or two of those, but what is all of those? And so, my friends here today, I'm the only thing that I can see that is all of those all the time is God and His Word. Okay. God and His Word. I think many of us know that. Many of us have experienced that. So, how do we prevent, or rather, is it possible to only think about those things? Like, really? I mean, I go to work, Anthony. Like, seriously? Like, I work construction. Something I used to do. Or, hey, you know what, man, it's when I go out with the guys, it's all good, but yeah, there's just a lot of language there that's kind of tough. Or, hey, so I like these TV shows, but like some of them are just, I mean, come on, I couldn't watch any TV. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not here to condemn or make anything legalistic, but it's just good questions for us to ask. So, real quick, I want to share with you Psalms 19, 7 through 14. And I just want to read that to you and hopefully just share with you on how good God's Word is everywhere throughout His Word. But I'm going to share Psalms 19, 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God's word is so good, and not just there. But simply, we can't prevent all the negative and bad things from entering our minds. I mean, be it news, okay, TV. What about music? Books? Social media, websites, the list goes on and on. And again, not everything is bad, but this is a good question for each one of us to ask in our own lives. Not my conviction to you or your conviction to me, but rather what God would convict and help you with. Remember, conviction is never of guilt, but for us to just assess. Because if we think about those things, the news, the media, social media, websites, emails, certain things that come across, if we had an honest assessment, I think we'd all agree that, and have to admit, a lot of it is false. A lot of it is impure. A lot of it is just downright ugly. So we might think, I can tell you I did, we might think that this doesn't affect us. Again, I could tell you that there was a point in my Christian life that I really didn't think things just affected me the way that I know they do today. Solomon asked the rhetorical question in Proverbs 6:21. He said, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned?" The answer, of course, is no. And although he's talking about purity as a whole and lust specifically, I think we can really use that and look into, can we listen to certain things, watch certain things, talk in certain things, be in certain conversations and not affect us? Even as a Christian. It's a good question. I think, again, if we have that honest assessment, the answer is no. Something I've certainly learned even this week. So we live in this world where we can't stop all impure things entering our minds, but we simply don't have to allow them to stay there. Okay, so I shared with you, 9 years ago, gave my life to the Lord over here, okay? Entered a men's group, fast forward about 6 months, went to my first men's group back here in the Octagon, okay? Some of you already know this. But what I want to share with you is one of the things that took place there, okay? And as many of you know, I didn't want to go. Like, I was a man's man. I didn't need nobody else. I didn't need to talk about feelings or none of that crap, okay? So that was certainly my mentality going in. It was a shell. I was protective, self-protective. Moving past all that, realizing that's not what it's about and how much men. One of the most prevalent things, I mean, I can picture it like it was yesterday, like literally. I remember sitting at a table in the Octagon, and then we had about 40, 45 guys attending. I remember Robert Lewis just getting done being on the screen for men's fraternity. I mean, I can picture it all. I can picture guys there, certain guys. And at my table was this man, a godly man who attends here. And he was sharing with the group just how music affects him. So backing up a step, I really loved all kinds of music growing up. From my dad was a huge Eagles, Doors fan, Metallica, country. I was the 80s baby, so all that 80s music, rap. I mean, there wasn't anything I really didn't like, some heavy metal. Have you ever stopped and listened to the lyrics on some of that stuff? Well, I don't know that I really had up until that point, okay? And so he proceeds to tell us a conversation, and what he's saying is that, man, you know what? Like, I struggle, man, because when I turn this certain station on, like, all these thoughts come back, these things of my past and impure things that I did, ugly things that I did. And when I'm listening, there's things, man, they're just not true. And really, when you're listening to the message, they're trying to get me to do things that aren't good. And I was just like, man, this guy crazy, man. It's like, why am I coming to this men's group? No, I didn't really think that. I'd already known at the time, but it was like, well, I don't know about all that. And so I went to the, well, I can still listen to it because I enjoy it, and it doesn't really affect me. So as we finished up that night, I started to reflect on it. I'm like, man, maybe it does. Started thinking of some of the lyrics that I knew. Oh, yeah, that's not good. Oh, that country song definitely ain't good. That rap song, forget about it. And man, my favorite Eagles song, Yeah. I was just like, oh, man. So what does music have to do with that? Well, I had heard of a, so we leave that night. I had heard of a station, 91.1. Anyone familiar with it? K-Love? Okay. I had dabbled into it a few times, but music wasn't for me. I'm just telling you, it wasn't for me. Okay, I tried, okay, but it quickly went back to another station. Okay, it's not something I could relate to, and I know part of that now was probably the enemy. Some of it was just me not willing to give up the things of old, even though I was a new creation. I tried it. I switched it to K-Love. Lasted about maybe a whole song. And I was right back. Over the course of the next couple weeks, I challenged and I heard this challenge. And I don't know if they still do it. I listened to many other stations, including K-Love. But it was a 30-day challenge. Do they still do that? Yeah? They challenged me for 30 days. And now, I don't know, and I kind of painted a picture of what kind of guy I was, right? It was from insecurities, but it was a facade, like I was strong and all this stuff, right? But one of the things I know about myself is that if I'm challenged with something and I don't think I can do it, now I might not tell anyone, but if I don't think I can do it, like I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And I was like, I don't know if I could listen to that music for 30 days. I really don't know. So man, I tried, and I tell you what, it was like, and here's the thing, I love worship music because I think the vast majority of it is wholesome and true and speaks life and speaks God's word, and they're trying to really just please God, to obey him and share his word through music. The point of that being, that story and that illustration is that, man, I struggle with the music, and that music made me think of things. And do you think, do any of you think of that it didn't come out in my mouth or thoughts? Of course not. It did. I mean, I would actually, and I don't know if any of you can relate, I would respond with a line from a song to certain people. In my head, of course, I wouldn't say it out loud. There would be certain things that I would think of and it would remind me of. And so that may be music, but that may be other things for you. The point is that it has an effect on us. Okay, so as you know, Donnie, Dana, Sarah, and I, we teach the middle schoolers, which you guys are in here. Again, I'm just so thankful you guys are in here. So I want to share something with you real quick, okay? So we're going to take a look, work with me here. And can I get James, will you come up with me? Just give James a round of applause. He didn't know he was going to be up here. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so you're going to just help me hold this, okay? All right, and we're going to talk about some of these things. So as we're thinking about our scripture, okay, we know be anxious for nothing. We know how in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, thanking him. We're going to let our requests be made known to him. We're going to talk to our Father. And the peace of God, one that only he can provide, that surpasses understanding, does not make sense to this world, and doesn't even make sense to us sometimes. How can I be peaceful in this situation? And our hearts will be guarded through Christ Jesus. Okay, so we know that. Now we've got to focus on things that are true, and whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just and pure, and things are lovely. Okay, but hold up. That sounds great and all, but we have certain things in our minds. This right here represents our mind. Can we work with that? Does that make sense? Okay, it doesn't make sense, but we'll roll with it, right? This symbolizes our mind, okay? All right, so it's just a glass vase here. It's our mind. And we're going to fill it with things that aren't that pure. First one. Listening to vulgar, let's call it unlovely music, okay? That was me for sure, okay? See what else we got here. Oh, man, here's one. Anybody else have this other than me? Negative self-talk. Anybody else? No? Okay. Man, I realized this week how much I struggle with this, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Negative self-talk. Okay, what else we got? Okay, circulating emails, certain things, lust, things that just I shouldn't be looking at, okay, that just thoughts. Okay. Oh, what about gossip? Being part of that gossip, even just kind of taking my mind places it shouldn't go. Okay, what else? Hanging out with the bad crowd. I think we did a series on that not too long ago, didn't we? Okay. What else we got here, James? Oh, secretive social media. Okay. So again, not always things that are our thoughts, but things that can really play into our thoughts or can come out in action. What else we got here? Watching the news or something that's untrue. Something that's not good. Okay, and I'm not saying all news is not true. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you can't watch news. I'm just saying, does it help you or does it not? That's probably a good question for you, not me. I'm just playing. You really want to know, I stopped watching the news 13 years ago, even before I was a Christian. Funny, huh? Like, I just really knew it affected me so hard. It was like a weight on me. This is so much. So I just stopped watching it. So not a legalistic thing, right? We can, and I think it's good to be educated in certain things, but let's not let it consume us. Okay, so now we have all these things. Now, as I'm putting the remainder of these in here, James, can you help me put them in there? I want you to think of things that are untrue in your mind. Things that are maybe impure and holy. And we're not dwelling there, but it's important to maybe understand and reflect on some of the things that are not lovely. I know, maybe one on lack of forgiveness. Maybe really we know at work or school that this person doesn't deserve forgiveness. They are mean. I'm not going to forgive them. Okay, so our mind, James, is full of what? Good or negative thoughts or bad thoughts? Based on this depiction, not yours. Is this negative thoughts in here? Yeah, right? Okay, so you get to help me with one more thing. Now, we have here, what's in here, James?
Water.
Okay. But not just any kind of water, just to let you know, this water, man, is like, I'm talking, this is pure water right here. This water, this water right here is like, was made by God. Yeah, for real. Okay. But this water was, man, this was in an aquifer that no man has ever touched. This is better than the Evian, the Fiji, the whatever else there is. It's better than all that water combined. Better than your favorite well water back at home. This water represents God's word. Okay? So this is God's word, and this is our mind. And for the sake of this, we have our mind filled with certain things that aren't pure and that aren't lovely, that go against this. So we're going to talk about some of those things that are good. So maybe one of our struggles is fear. Fear is a hole, and fear and anxiety that leads to anxiety, certain things. So I know. Here it is. God's word. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but one of power, one of love, and one of a sound mind. Okay? Maybe your struggle, my struggle, is value. Thinking our value comes from certain things or work or our thoughts that people are saying, or these thoughts that are negative self-talk, like you're not worthy. You don't amount to nothing. Who needs you? Things that we have been told ourselves. So let's take that and replace it with God's truth, shall we? For you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good things that he prepared for you long ago so that you should walk in them. You are God's poem. You are God's masterpiece. You are his craftsmanship. Go ahead and pour some in. All of us are his handiwork and his craftsmanship. We are his masterpiece. Pour a bunch in. That one's like, man. What else? Who has a scripture that has spoke so much into their lives? Anyone? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin. What about if I have impure thoughts and I'm struggling with that? Maybe I memorized Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome. What else? God's word just keeps going and going. Let's go, James. We're replacing it. Go ahead and pour it in there. We're going to replace it with God's truth. Go ahead. Just go for it. We can make a mess. It's all good. Worship team hopefully won't be too mad at me. Go ahead. Pour it in. Rock it. There you go. Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Let's give James a round of applause. Thank you. Our mind is no longer filled with negative things because we replace it with God's truth, His Word. His truth for us in our lives. And I kind of like, and we did test this before, even before the first service, and I kind of like how this shows right here, because I don't know that we'll ever, our minds are clear, and because we've chose to focus on God's truth and His Word, things that are lovely, but I don't know that we'll ever get rid of that noise, you know? And if you figure that out, let me know. But I think it's important for us to understand and replace it with truth. And so we can praise God for His battle plan, because it is a battle plan. Praise Him for His battle plan and how we can combat and how we can get rid of those negative things in our lives. My challenge to you and to me is to memorize, if we don't have it already, memorize His Word. I've learned that it can't just be I reference it. I've got to know. The only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's think about that one. Let's memorize His Word. And it's a challenge. It's not a legalistic thing. You don't have to. You're still going to heaven. But I want this to impact your life like it's impacted mine through struggle and through seeing His love. So my challenge is for us to focus on this and just think of how much of a blessing we will be to others, to one another, if we have our minds focused on these kinds of things, if we have our minds focused on the King of Kings.